Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Record-breaking, groundbreaking, heartbreaking if you are a Pakistani bowler especially. England 506 for four on the first day of the first test in Rawalpindi. What a remarkable day's play, a record-breaking day's play of course. The most runs ever made on the first day of a test match. Not the most runs ever made on any day of a test match, we can get into that. But the most runs ever made on the first day of a test match, beating the previous record by at least 12 runs. And that was a record set in 1910, when they bowled a lot more overs in a day than they did today. So an extraordinary performance by England, Simon. You were there watching it, travelling back to the ground afterwards. Have you got your breath back yet?
It's funny, isn't it, a day's play like that? It sort of gradually, it seeps into your soul, you know, what is going to happen. At the start of the day's play, or say an hour into the day's play, we were talking in the back of the box, and Atif Nawaz, a Pakistani origin commentator who's with us, and Vic Marks, they were talking about how many England were going to get in the day's play if they kept on like this. And they were saying, they're going to get 480. And I remember thinking, don't be daft. That's absolutely ludicrous to think you can score 400, or even close to 480 on the first day of a test match in Pakistan. Light shortened day as well, likely. And lo and behold, they get over 500. You can talk about the pitch, you can talk about the attack, but you've still got to go out there and do it, and you've still got to have that approach that I think knocks a team off balance. I think that's what England have done this year, and I think that's what they did today. They knocked Pakistan off balance. It wasn't reckless, but it was really positive. And you know, Harry Brook came in, and he was trying to score off every ball. And that is England's mindset. It is under Brendan McCullum. And it is beguiling to watch. It really is. I mean, I'm not sure it was a great day for Pakistani bowlers, their supporters, and people, you know, I don't know, watching on television, listening on radio. If you're a Pakistan supporter, it's a pretty tough day to take. But England supporters will be thinking, wow, how many can they get? I don't know if you heard this, Yoz, but Zach Crawley joked in the press conference afterwards, we're going for 1,000.
Yeah,
that's a lot of punishment.
Which has never been done in Test cricket. That is amazing. I mean, that's more than.
I don't think he was serious.
In test England. Well, he might not be, but I mean, it wouldn't take England long, given the people they picked, with Stokes running up the pitch in that last couple of overs and bunting a six and rapidly advancing his score. You got Liam Livingstone and Will Jacks to come, both of them T20 specialists. So, I mean, England could easily get to 1,000, I suppose, if they had the time, if they had the inclination. So 1,000 would, of course, break the Test match record currently held by Sri Lanka with that 952 they made in an innings. I don't see England really doing that, but Their run rate, another record, in a completed innings of a test match, the highest run rate so far is 5.88 in a completed innings. Obviously, this innings of England's hasn't yet been completed, but they're at 6.74 and over. More than a run a ball. You said Harry Brook was almost attempting to hit every ball for runs. I mean, he hit every ball for a four in one over, didn't he? I mean, I suppose that was emblematic of England's approach. But actually, as you said, they weren't reckless. There wasn't slogging. It actually was just good, natural, attacking cricket shots.
Yeah, it was a good pitch. I think we should emphasise that. I mean, you to score 500 a day, it probably does need to be a good pitch and a quick outfield. Is it a pitch that's good for test match cricket, or are England just redefining it? So, I mean, it's all very well to say it's a bad pitch because it is so flat. But if you go out there and play with that positivity and score 500, you do give yourself a chance of winning the game. I mean, I remember in a test match in Antigua when Brian Lara broke the world record, he made 400. You know, West Indies made over 700 there, and they made England follow on, and England were able to save the game. Was that a good pitch for test match cricket? It was certainly a good pitch for Brian Lara, and this was a good pitch for four of England's top order players. And I suppose if England go on and win the game, then you say, well, that's the nature of test cricket, isn't it? You know, you get a big score in the first innings, you squeeze the other team, and you build the pressure and you win the game late on. But if you have a game where England makes 750, say, and then Pakistan respond with 600, similar-ish to the test match we had here in Rawalpindi when Australia were here earlier in the year. I mean, in that match, Pakistan closed the match on 252 for no wicket in their second innings. That's not a great surface for test cricket, but what England did do was they made absolutely the most of it, and with knobs on as well.
Yeah, I'd say a few things about the pitch. The first thing to say is if you get a ball in the first over bowled by a guy touching 90 miles an hour, Nazim Shah, and it takes the edge, and Crawley was also pushing at the ball a bit, and it doesn't even carry halfway to slip and goes to the boundary for four, I don't think that's a very good pitch. If over time it turns square or, you know, reverse swings or something a lot, and bowlers can take wickets, then maybe the pitch can redeem itself. But there are no hints that will happen necessarily. I know it's early days, it's only a day's of cricket's gone, but if a bowler of that sort of pace can't even get an edge to carry to slip when the batsman's being quite positive, I think that's pretty disappointing. Do you know, I think this pitch is poor, actually, for cricket. And it doesn't surprise me, actually, because the experiences I've had of being in Pakistan, they are the flattest, most batting friendly, least bowler friendly bowling graveyards of pitches that I've ever seen. And I can give you one example of that. I actually, when I was on tour with England 20 odd years ago, we spent a week in Multan, where I know the second test is. And on the second day of the game, the game was ended early because of bad light or something, I think. I went for a run. No, in fact, it was the day before the game. I went for a run round Multan, and I stopped by a club ground, which happened to be in Sir Mamal Haque's club, and I sort of thought I'd jog around that ground. And there was a practice match going on, or a practice session going on in the middle, and a couple of times the ball got whacked in my direction as I was running around the outfield. I threw it back, and eventually, just for a bit of fun, I went and joined the ranks of bowlers who were running up to bowl at these batsmen in the middle. And one of them said, oh, you know, do you fancy a bowl? I said, sure, you know, okay. And I bowled about 10 balls.
Did he know who you were? Did he know you played first class cricket?
I don't know. I don't know. But I didn't really sort of, I just said, I'm an Englishman here, you know, sort of thing. I think they may have thought I was a test player or something, I don't know. But as soon as they saw me bowl, they were pretty sure I wasn't. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll bowl a few balls and see how it is bowling on these pitches. And it was actually Inzaman's brother batting. And my length balls, and this was about a year after I'd retired from professional cricket, so I was still a reasonable bowler, bowling probably 80 miles an hour. Every length ball I bowled got smacked over deep mid-wicket, and some of them ended up in the road. The only way of stopping them from hitting on the up, clean hitting off a length, was to either bowl a Yorker or a bouncer. That was the only way I could stop them hitting me for a boundary. And I thought this pitch at Rawalpindi today was similar. There was no way you could bowl. If you bowled a length, Crawley just strode onto the front foot and hit it on the up through the offside. There was no hint of sideways movement at all. There was no excessive bounce. It was just hitting the middle of the bat. If you bowled it a bit short, he rocked back and pulled you over or through mid-wicket. There was Ben Duckett sort of almost playing with the bowlers. If they bowled slightly outside off stump, he just steered it backward a point with a little back cut. And if it was slightly on the stumps or middle and leg, he steered it or clipped it through the leg side. There was hardly anywhere the bowlers could actually bowl. And it reminded me, just to finish, of the net sessions that we used to have for Middlesex at Finchley Indoor Cricket School. And I guess, you know, older players amongst our listeners will remember Finchley Indoor Cricket School when it was just basically shiny lino that you bowled on. It wasn't sort of artificial grass, which is what you get now, sort of 3G, 4G type grass, which is what you get in indoor centres now. It was this sort of shiny, compacted surface, sort of almost like ceramic, really. And the ball never moved an inch off it at all. Anyone could go in and bat and just hit it on the up and steer it and play around, and they didn't have to move the feet because literally the ball did absolutely nothing. It was a terrible place to practice. Or it was lovely if you were struggling for rhythm as a batsman because you could just hit everything. But if you want to try and bowl and show you're any good, no, don't bother. That pitch today was a bit like that.
Yeah, I've played at Finchley. We used to practice there pre-season. And you're right, it was actually terrible practice for a new season because, of course, you play on that Finchley net and the ball will come on nicely and you better sort of cream it, hit it on the up. Then suddenly you go outside on, you know, early season wickets in North London or whatever, and the ball would, you know, splodge into the pitch. It would be, you know, impossible to score, take divots out of the surface. I suppose you got a bit of rhythm, but it was not great preparation. But I know, it's a very good analogy, actually. So sort of indoor nets where the ball doesn't do anything, it just flies off the bat, and, you know, batters can have a bit of fun, really.
Can batter you, basically.
It is that sort of service. But the proof will come, I suppose, you know, when England bat, when they declare or they're bowled out for however many, and you think it's going to be 700 plus the way things are. I mean, I think you've got to be quite greedy here. I think you don't want to just, you know, England give themselves some time. I know the game's a bit shorter because of the light, but I think you want to be quite greedy in the first innings and get as many as you can. I mean, if they get that many, 750, 700, that is a massive score to then come up against, isn't it, as a batting side. You've only got to make a few mistakes. And I think the lower order of Pakistan just looks like quite a long tail to me. But there obviously is some quality in the top order. And England's bowling attack is, well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? With, several part-time spinners, really. And, you know, Ben Stokes with his knee issue and Jimmy Anderson and Ollie Robinson. It's a sort of strange-looking England attack, really, and that's the attack that they're going to have to try to use to bowl Pakistan out twice, take 20 wickets on a very flat surface.
Yeah, I'm slightly gloomy about those prospects because, as you say, apart from Anderson and Robinson, and I suppose Jack Leach is an authentic Test bowler, they haven't really got a threat to me once the ball's got a bit older. Robinson will be good with the new ball, obviously. Jimmy can reverse swing it. Not at great pace, and therefore I don't see England having all that many options with the ball. But let's go back to the batting for a minute. And actually, I'm just going to look at the way that the Pakistanis approached it, because, yes, it was an unbelievably flat pitch, and Zach Crawley took 14 off the first over, 4 off the edge and 2 authentic drives to the boundary. I thought that the Pakistanis misread the way they should bowl and set fields today. Because as soon as you see that, as soon as you see no real life in the pitch, no movement at all, what is the point of slip fielders? What is the point of having anybody at slip? I know they quite quickly went to one slip, but then when Stokes came in, they had 2 slips and a gully again, and he angled a couple through the slips for 4. There's absolutely no point in having slip fielders in these sorts of conditions, really. And also, kind of carrying on from that, you can use those fielders, you can deploy those fielders in more imaginative ways. You can have men on the drive, and then you can get the bowlers, who a couple of whom bowl at close to 90 miles an hour, to then vary their pace. Why do you get these bowlers like Nazim Shah and Harris Ralph, excellent bowlers in white ball cricket, who have very clever changes of pace? Why do they never use them in a test match? They never think, oh, well, let's go and try a back of the hand slower ball or a cutter or anything. They just keep on running in and trying to bowl as fast as possible when the pitch is just deadening, nullifying any of that attempt. So I think Pakistan were a bit naive, and, you know, I suppose it's forgivable because the bowlers are inexperienced. There's only, what, 15 tests between all that, those five, six bowlers that Pakistan used today. But Baba, as a fairly experienced cricketer and captain, should have known we need to change this. You know, it was too easy for England. 76 boundaries were hit today. 76. Well, quite a lot of that was poor balls and a measure of how easy the pitch was. But that also has to be down to field settings and bowlers not working with the captain on the field settings.
Yeah, very few balls beat the bat. I think you could barely count on one hand the number of balls that beat the bat during the whole day from seamers and spinners. It was that flat. And yeah, Pakistan's tactics against an England team that were, you know, that was positive, aggressive, and got going. That's the thing. They just couldn't haul it back. Once they got going, you know, there were 100 for no wicket by the drinks break of the first day. I mean, that's unheard of, isn't it? I mean, normally you think, yeah, get to 100 by lunch on the first day. That's a significant feat. But to get to drinks 100 for no wicket, it was one of those days. It was a bit like for Pakistan. It was a bit like going down on skis. You know, they just couldn't control it. They were just going downhill. And they were completely out of control. And England just kept on going and made it such a tough day. I think you're right about the inexperience of the Pakistan attack as well. I know Harris Ralph is, you know, he's a decent bowler, isn't he? But making his Test match debut today, Muhammad Ali, first match, sort of tall, muscular bowler, is a slightly thankless task. And I think there are big problems in their spin department as well. They didn't play Abrar Ahmed, who's had a lot of success on this surface in Rawalpindi, taking 40 wickets in the domestic one-day competition in only a handful of matches. And they played Mahmood, who went 23 overs, 2 for 160. And he did cause a problem every now and again, but he also just looked very hittable. He looked very easy to play. And England... they needed no second invitation. But, you know, the surface and England's approach, completely overwhelmed Pakistan today. A really tough day. But one thing I would say, Jos, about the way the game goes from here is psychologically, I wonder how damaging that was for Pakistan today, you know, for the rest of this game. Or are they used to big scores and you just go, well, this is one of the aspects of playing in the subcontinent, you know, and therefore England gets 700, well, we'll just bat long, we'll just get 600, or, you know, all that scoreboard pressure come into play?
Yeah, I think that clearly Pakistanis are used to these sorts of situations and the rear guard actions that are required, the way you bat in these circumstances on these pitches. But England will have learnt a lot from how the Pakistanis bowled and where not to bowl as much as where to bowl, how to set fields. They'll be much cannier, I think, in how they approach it. I mean, what was sort of disappointing, and I suppose, again, excusable because of their inexperience, was that they didn't resort to, say, bouncers or something, or Yorkers, or just trying something else, rather than what seemed to be a sort of hapless attempt to try and get wickets in fairly conventional ways. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you about the leg spinner. Not looked innocuous. Has there ever been a worse over or a less effective over than that bowled by Saib Shakil at the end there, that left-arm spinner who was obviously a sort of part-timer, who was hit for six fours by Harry Brook. And Harry Brook said, well, you know, they were fairly bad balls. He wasn't really trying to hit them for four, but they were sort of asking to be hit for four because they were so poor. So it's, I don't know. I mean, their spin attack looked pretty bereft, I thought, Pakistan, which is surprising given the country and the conditions that they normally find.
48% of matches in Pakistan, test matches in Pakistan, end in draws, which is the highest percentage of any of the test-playing nations. India is the next highest with 40%. So it is a sort of feature of Pakistan pitches. And cricket in Pakistan is quite attritional. But I think that was the difference today, is we're talking about attrition, whereas for England it wasn't attrition, it was all-out positivity. Andy Zaltzman came up, as he often does, with a great stat. He said, when England beat Pakistan in Karachi, at one point in their first innings, after 75 overs, they were 149 for one. Well, after 75 overs today, they are 506 for four. You know, they are trying to play the game in a different way, and you know, everything was aligned today. I mean, the bizarre thing, of course, was what we were talking about before the game was the game going to go ahead? You know, lots of the England players were down yesterday. Ben Duckett told me afterwards. He said he was on the loo at 5 o'clock this morning. You know, he sort of thinking, am I going to be fit to play? But desperate to play as well. That's the other point, because you don't want to miss out, do you? On a surface like this, you damn well want to make sure that you're in that team. But you know, I said he was, you know, it was tough. He was, you know, struggling physically, but yeah, massive relief for him to get 100. And on Harry Brook, he wasn't far away from recording the fastest ever Test century by an England player. And I said to him after, did you know? And he said, no, I didn't. I didn't know what the, you know, specific record was. I mean, someone could have told him. He said, you know, obviously in that situation, you're thinking about making your first Test 100, aren't you? But he wasn't far away from breaking the record set by Gilbert Jessop. Jessop was 76 balls back in 1902, and Brook's 100 today was in 80 balls. So he was really close, helped by that over from Shaquille. We thought Brook had something about him, and you know, already in his second Test match he's made 100, albeit in, you know, benign conditions. What a couple of weeks for him. World Cup winner and maiden Test 100 in the space of, what, 2.5 weeks.
He must think it's an easy game, although of course he didn't actually have the greatest experience in the World T20. He found the going a bit tough, but he was brilliant in Pakistan during that 7-match series that England played previously. Yeah. And he's had experience of the PSL as well. So clearly, you know, at home in Pakistan, clearly also Zach Crawley at home against Pakistan, having made that double 100 against them a couple of years ago. So it often happens like that, doesn't it, that you have your sides or your places where you feel more comfortable. Talking of 1902, by the way, just as a slight sort of sideline, 174 for no wicket was the score at lunch today, wasn't it? Amazing score. Has that ever been done in a Test match before? Well, funnily enough, I was looking back at the first time that a batsman ever made 100 before lunch in a Test match, which, of course, was Victor Trumper, the Australian, in 1902. Mm-hmm. And at lunch, the score in that Test match was 173 for one. That was at Old Trafford. And again, they would have bowled a lot more than 27 overs. Probably would have been more like 37 overs in the pre-lunch session. In fact, they often used to go to lunch at 1:30 as well. So it could have been a 2.5-hour first session. But I think it was rain interrupted. And funnily enough, in that Test match, Joe Darling, the Australian, won the toss, and it had been raining in Old Trafford in Manchester for some days, uncovered pitches. And the reason why he decided to bat first was he said, I reckon the bowlers won't be able to stand up and keep their feet because the whole pitch was saturated. And he was right. And Trumper helped himself to 100 before lunch. So, you know, these things, there are precedents for these things, but the way England then sustained it afterwards, I mean, you know, 233 for the first wicket, fantastic. But in a way, you can then see other people come in and think, oh, this looks really easy, and get out, as in fact Joe Root did. But the other players, Ollie Pope and you mentioned Harry Brook there, then continued the style of play without ever kind of really getting excessive or reckless in any way, just playing nice, crisp cricket shots, hitting the ball cleanly, hitting it on both sides of the wicket and sustaining that amazing run rate. So it was an extraordinary day of records and, well, you know, just groundbreaking method. Are England reinventing Test cricket? Yeah, I think they are.
Well, I think they're trying to, aren't they? I think they're saying, you know, there is a different way to play. We don't have to play in the conventional ways. I mean, and Vic Marks made the point that we've been, you know, chatting about how can England play in Pakistan. He said, well, it's not really worked in the past, has it, when they've come here? I mean, they've only won two test matches in Pakistan in 24 attempts. There have been 18 draws and they've lost four times. The last time they came here, they were beaten in the three-match series 2-0. They did win that famous series win by winning in Karachi. You know, it hasn't really worked before. So what's wrong with, you know, trying a different approach? What will be fascinating is, well, can they keep this going, you know, throughout the series, and will it work? And, well, who knows about that? But, you know, to come out and score 500, I mean, you do have to sort of pinch yourself, actually, and think, hold on, this is the day when England, well, it was the game going to take place. They were, half the team were down with illness, and they come out and do something like that. And, you know, one of the 100 is scored by someone who was really struggling this morning. And, of course, Ben Folkes didn't make it. You know, he was one that was left out. And so, Will Jacks gets his place in this England side, which actually gives them a bit more of an option with the spin. But, of course, it does mean they've got Ollie Pope behind the stumps, which, you know, could, you know, that might cost them, mightn't it?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So if England are reinventing Test cricket, I think the man who probably gets the most credit, apart from Ben Stokes, actually is Owen Morgan. Because in a way, it's Morgan who changed the way that England played their cricket, obviously the white ball version in 2015, by injecting this completely kind of fearless approach and just this liberated style of play. And of course, England, as a result, broke the record twice for the highest ever white ball score. So they got 444 and then 483, I think it was, at Trent Bridge, and beat everybody's records. And now they're doing it in Test cricket. And I think Stokes has just bought into that psychology that Morgan first introduced, which is based on, I'll lead the way and I'll do what I preach. I'll practice what I preach and I'll almost go to extremes to practice what I preach. And apparently, I was hearing the other day that in that first test at Lord's, when Stokes and McCullum's regime began this last summer, Stokes in the nets was running up the wicket to Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson on the nursery ground and trying to take them on. And that transmitted a very immediate message to the rest of the team. Look, I'm going to play this way and I'd like you to try as well. And they've all bought into it magnificently. And it is transforming the game, I think. And in a way, I still think Morgan was the sort of beginning. He was the kind of catalyst for it, really.
Yeah, no, I can see exactly what you're saying. They proved it can work in one day cricket, just lifting the way you played or changing the way you play. And Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes together, making it happen in Test cricket. Just on Stokes, I mean, his innings was fascinating because he'd been sitting there all day. He's another one that had been in bed yesterday, not feeling particularly well. He'd been sitting there watching it all day, you know, watching Crawley and Duckett and Pope and Brooke make their hundreds. I mean, he came out, and if he stays for three quarters an hour tomorrow, you know, we talk about that Gilbert Jessop record of 76 ball 100. I mean, that could go. He's 34 not out from 15 balls. If he does get in the morning, okay, in a way it seems like a daft thing to say. He's still got to score another 66 runs. But, you know, the time equation and the intent is there, and the pitch is good, and we've spoken about this. And the cleanness with which he struck the ball this evening was actually remarkable. And Stokes is, we've seen Stokes in Test match cricket and perhaps a bit of one day cricket recently not be in the greatest of nick. He did play that fine innings at Old Trafford against South Africa when he really gritted it out, didn't he? And then gradually he got going. But this was clean striking, some deft striking as well, opening the face, running it down the pitch, humping it over deep mid wicket. Yeah, there was a lovely clip through mid wicket. So 34 from 15 balls. It's one of those days, I think, that it might be worth getting up early tomorrow to listen or watch with Stokes there, because it's not impossible that something special could happen. Now, having given the big build-up, he'll probably be out whacking Madden up in the air in the second over of the day or something like that. But, you know, he's got that licence, and there's still Livingston and there's still Jacks to come.
Don't be pessimistic. You were the one who said before this game that England could easily be 150 all out on the first morning. No. They weren't. They were 150 for naught after 22 overs. I think they outscored Pakistan in the T20 World Cup final. Their run rate was so ridiculous early on. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just a wonder to behold. And I mean, I feel a bit sorry for the Pakistanis in a way. They came in their numbers to hopefully see some fantastic Pakistani batting or bowling, and they saw neither. But maybe they'll be back tomorrow and with the hope restored. What about life in Pakistan? You've been there 2 or 3 days. Go on, give us a bit of a sense of journey to the ground, sort of general atmosphere, food, etc. What's it been like?
Well, we're in Islamabad, which is the capital. It's a new city. It's just north of Rawalpindi, where the game is being played. It's all quite ordered, actually. It's very, it sort of feels not like the normal subcontinent experience, where everything feels a bit sort of frantic and perhaps a bit chaotic, and the noise and the colour. It just seems it's a diplomatic town. It's the capital. It's very ordered. It's wide boulevards, grassy banks. It's a new town. And it was made the capital in 1964. But then you go towards Rawalpindi, and it's very different. It's all what you might think of as traditional subcontinent. Yeah, and that's why, in terms of things like security and travelling to the ground, they shut the roads off, so you have to try to miss the team. Otherwise, you get caught up in a huge traffic jam. And getting to the ground, getting to the hotel when we arrived on Monday morning, we actually got to the hotel, and we couldn't get the last 50 metres done, because there was a huge traffic jam around the hotel and they cordoned it all off. So, you have to put up with things like that. And I don't think that some of the local sort of traders, shopkeepers are that enamoured with the cricket being on, because it means, there are huge jams in the road and it's difficult for people to get round sort of close to shops, close to the ground. Because, if you can imagine them shutting off the roads in central London for a dignitary for half an hour to come through, imagine the chaos that would cause. And I think, similarly, it has that knock-on effect, for the people of Rawalpindi. So that's sort of part of the atmosphere, as opposed to the accommodation, the hotel. We're staying in the same hotel as the players. We haven't really seen them very much. I think they're in a separate wing.
It's just as well, I think, probably, given they were all here.
Well, absolutely, yeah, you're right on that. And security is very high. I mean, you have all sorts of checks just to get near the hotel, then another, then another barrier, and then another barrier to get into the hotel. We're hotel guests, we're staying here. And then, you go through you have to put your bag through security a couple of times. Same in the ground as well. I think there were three security checkpoints to get into the ground today. So, no one is taking any chances. But it's great that Test cricket is back here after 17 years. And what you hope, I think, is that eventually touring becomes more normal. I mean, we're allowed to go out. We went out yesterday with Atif and Andy Zaltzman. We went up to see the Faisal Mosque. We went to a shopping centre just to have a look around, just to get out of the hotel, really, because you can, what it's like sometimes, you can just get a bit sort of trapped in a hotel. You don't want to go out. But actually, the joy of touring is to see a place, at least get out and see things and do things. You don't want to be stuck in a hotel the whole time. So thankfully we're not, and so far it's been a a great experience.
What was the food like? You're a famous vegetarian. Pakistan is not a haven for vegetarians necessarily, is it? Were you okay?
Well, last night I ordered a nut biryani. Now, if a nut biryani comes, what do you imagine's in it? What would you think would be in a nut biryani?
A fair bit of nut.
Fair bit of nut, some rice, perhaps a little bit of vegetable. Yeah. Well, mine had great chunks of chicken in it. So that was a sort of odd experience, and I've experienced this before actually. So I think I need to be more emphatic when I order. Look, you know, no meat, please. Don't put the chicken in the nut biryani.
But they don't even think of chicken as meat, do they?
Well, I sense that might be the case. They say you're vegetarian, but you eat chicken, do you? There we go. Anyway, well, you know, you're gradually adapting. You're gradually learning.
You just pick the chicken out. What do you mean? Just take the chicken pieces out.
Well, Alex, that's what Alex Hartley said. Couldn't you just take the chicken pieces out? Well, you could do, but I mean, it's a fairly laborious task. It'd be actually just better not to have them in there in the first place, wouldn't it?
By the way, the illnesses to the players was not food related, was it? They've got their own chef out there. They've taken their own chef out there. And I think it's quite common, isn't it? I mean, you're obviously all right so far, but it's quite common when say, English people go to, well, all sorts of countries, actually. It could be Greece, France, India, wherever, Sri Lanka, you know, all sorts of countries where you pick up something, and it's not necessarily food that causes it. It's just bugs in the air, which are different. It's bacteria. Because people are always saying, oh, you know, you ate the prawns or something like that, or you had ice in your drink or something. It may not be anything like that at all. It's just things that are in the air, which when you go to a country like that, you're not accustomed to. You haven't got that resistance to. Whereas, you know, living at home, you've built up an immunity to your local environment. And it's the same for Indians and Pakistanis when they come to England. They get ill. And it's not necessarily food again. It could be the bugs that are in our environment, which they catch and are not immune to. So it's a fairly normal thing. England have tried to take as many precautions as possible, but it still happens.
Yeah, and I don't think they quite know what's caused it, actually, and how it, you know, the origin of it. They don't think it's food, it's not COVID. Anyway, whatever happened, they certainly put it behind them today, apart from poor old Ben Folkes, who didn't make the test match. As we said, that might cost England not having a top-line wicketkeeper to take some of those edges or stumpings or whatever if the ball does start to turn later in the game. But that will be England's hope. And Zach Crawley said this evening in his interview, we've done well and we think this pitch will give us some assistance as the game goes on. I mean, you can say, well, players always say that, don't they? They hope that the pitch will break up and there will be something there. The leg spinner, Mahmoud, did get one to rip today, didn't there? There was one that went past the outside edge. It spun. And you know, what England are hoping, I think, is that by the fourth day, the ball does do a bit, keeps a bit low. There might be some low bounce. LBWs might come into play. I noticed there were three today, although two of those were to aggressive sweep shots, weren't they? They weren't sort of really low balls.
And there was one, actually, early on, of course, and another thing that was in England's favour. There was no DRS early on, was there? So Zach Crawley got away with one, I thought, which was quite adjacent early on. And he did have a bit of luck, actually, to start with. I thought, actually, Nazim Shah bowled well the first three or four overs and just didn't have any luck. But it was a day that was obviously fated to be England's, and they took full toll of it, full advantage of it, and they're in the most fantastic position. And I suppose we sum up by saying, after that day's cricket, trump that.
Indeed, absolutely. What have they got in store for us in the rest of this game? I mean, hard to match what they came up with today. OK, that's it then, Yoz. First day done. First day of Test cricket for England in Pakistan for 17 years. And, pretty close to their best day ever in Pakistan. Hadn't quite beaten that day in Karachi when they won in the dark, but they've got a long way towards matching that sort of day with something quite breathtaking today. It's all very well having a flat pitch. It's all very well being up against an inexperienced attack. But to go out and score 506 in 75 overs, that takes some doing. OK, that's it. We'll speak to you later in this test match with our reviews of the day's play. Goodbye for now. We'll be right back.
Social Podcast Network.